Good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Talking Riley County issues, as we often do on the second Tuesday of the month. In studio with me is Riley County Commission Chairman Marvin Rodriguez and IT GIS Director for the county, Kevin Hauser. And did get a call over to break there. Dave, I think you took that. Did you want to?
I did take that, and caller wasn't able to get on the air, but he wanted to ask a question of you, Commissioner Rodriguez, pertaining to ambulance service, kind of a status update in Riley County, but also with the emphasis on getting an ambulance in the northern portion of Riley County, and kind of bring us up to date on that work effort.
Okay, we're going to be looking Thursday at the shops, see if we can get that room. There's a lot of things that go into this, not only about getting an ambulance service up north. When you do that, we have to have qualified EMTs. We would want 24-hour coverage, and with that you have to have sleeping rooms, you have to have good security. You can't just get up and leave an ambulance area where there's only two people and to go out on a run and leave the door open, and because they have a lot of stuff in there, pharmaceuticals, other things that they have. And so we're looking at that to see what the shops could give us and provide security. The big problem again is Manhattan's on the southeast corner of the county, and it's a lot of distance between there and the northern part. And but whatever we do, if we do go out and find something out in the community, it's going to be expensive to start with.
And that has been a process for the county on the whole transition
that's correct.
From Via Christi to taking over those services themselves. I'm sure a lot of things learned along
the
way.
Well, a lot of them were that the EMTs weren't paid sufficient. They kept leaving. We'd have, according to the director, Dave Adams, they had a 25% turnover. And you can't afford to lose people and retrain. So we had to make them more equitable on their pay to the county, rest of the county people, and that took some of the money up. And then we have to have part-time people too to help out in instances when people are sick and etc. So that brings that up. And then also that Pott County was always paying a part of that before. Now they're not paying a part of that, so we're making up the whole difference. And that's what the problem is there. But we are trying to look at what we can do for the northern part of the county. We may not solve it this year, but we're still going to be looking at and working on it, what we can do.
Is that kind of the consensus among the commissioners that definitely a rough transition in some ways and figuring some things out, mm-hmm. but I think it'll be overall the ambulance services in the long run will be better than the way they were before?
Nothing has changed for the northern part or any part of the county, city, as far as times. It's just that we have a different entity now running it, and we're hoping we can get better with it.
And less turnover, because I think a lot of organizations will tell you anytime you have a lot of high turnover, it's usually more expensive to you to have high turnover than to just go ahead and pay your folks more so they're happier and they stay.
And that's a critical entity to have turnover on.
Yeah, if I'm in trouble, I want my EMT people that are working on me, I want them to be happy and in good spirits, right. That's for sure. Dave, was that other phone call for us?
It was. Seems to be on the messenger today. Update on Marlette Avenue and the work that's being done there and potential opening. I drove by there the other day and looked like it's getting pretty close.
It's open as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It is open now.
But single lane, and hopefully here in about a week it'll be double lane on it. All the lanes will be open. They got some striping to do. The rain's not helping our striping and all the other little things we need to do. But it's open. They're still doing some construction, 30 miles an hour through there. But it's now open.
It's been a big project.
That's a big project, yes.
And speaking, and I know that was one of the sales tax projects, and one of the sales tax projects that was involved, and it's been delayed because of, I think, cash flow with sales tax revenues, is McDowell Creek Road. Is that in the works somewhere? Do you have a timeline on that, or is that something that we should ask Leon Hobson?
It's always good to ask Leon Hobson.
Always good to ask Leon.
But no, or at this moment, it's not on the next 12-month agenda, and I know they'll get back to it soon one day, but right now it's not.
Okay.
Brady Bowman here with Marvin Rodriguez, the Riley County Commission Chairman, you just heard speaking. Also got ITGIS Director Kevin Hauser in studio, Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass, keeping us afloat and taking in some phone calls, which again, phone lines are open. We have about 7 minutes left in the program, 785-537-1350, if you want to get in some questions. And Kevin, let's go back to you for a second, in case you had some other things that you wanted to mention. Sure. Want to make sure you get those in before we run out of time.
Oh, absolutely. As you had noted earlier, we're always very busy in IT, GIS side of things. Here recently, we've been assisting in the courthouse. A lot of the folks out there have obviously noticed some of the security changes in the courthouse. Well, they also have technology equipment in the courtrooms, audio. I mean, you obviously have some great audio equipment here. Same thing in the courtrooms. We have to provide good audio, so the witnesses can be heard adequately. The judges have to record certain sessions, that sort of thing. So we've been assisting the court personnel with getting some of that equipment updated. Other than that, it's always, in our day and age, security is always a big deal, whether it be IT or physical security. I know we've been assisting Public Works a little bit on door security in some of the buildings, getting some of the doors to where they can lock automatically and not use the old-fashioned key that's a big deal every time somebody leaves or whatever, going to the badge-type fob security. So we've been assisting in that effort, lockdown, ability to lock down doors in event of a, security emergency, that sort of thing. So, those are just a few of the things. We obviously just recently had an election. My staff assists. I usually man the help desk, for better or worse, and the rest of the staff assists the clerks in the election process. I know that we bought a little new technology. I know there's more coming for the actual election equipment, but anyone who's been at the poll places and used the little iPads, we assist the clerks in keeping those things updated. So election IT is a big part of our job when that comes up.
And getting more attention last couple, especially since 2016 election.
Absolutely correct. A lot of weird theories and things floating around out there about election security. But rest assured that we do everything we can from our perspective to keep things as secure as possible.
And is that just a lot of? Is there some testing that you do, like to do some test trial runs and make sure everything's fine? Or?
Well, Susan Bowler, of course, is our election official. She does a wonderful job running things. We just, assist as needed. I know that I have some staff that helps a lot. I don't get into it that much. But the devices, any device needs, just like your PC or whatever, it needs a firmware updates. It needs security updates. We're constantly assisting in that effort. So, yeah, I rest assured a lot of testing goes into place before the actual election event to make sure things function smoothly when they need to.
Brady Bowman here with Kevin Hauser, ITGIS Director for the county, who you just heard speaking. Also with me is Marvin Rodriguez. He's the Riley County Commission Chairman. Got about 4 minutes left in the program. A couple quick things, Marvin, that I want to hit on just to kind of update our listeners on that have kind of been these recurring sort of county topics, one of which being the shooting range for the RCPD, seeing kind of where we're at on that, whether it's a update on the no update, whatever you got.
It's an update on the no update, but it's just the same as it was right now. We're still trying to see how we're going to work it out.
Right, because before it looked like the county was looking at maybe a port location on Fort Riley, then when he kind of got a little closer on the fine print of things, basically, it just wasn't going to work out.
That's correct.
So now we're just kind of looking at different sites, or maybe revisiting the former site.
We are revisiting the former site.
Any sort of timetable as far as where do we expect having more updates by the end of the year, or is this something that might just kind of carry over into next year?
It may carry over into the next year. We're still trying to finalize everything and look at all our options.
Another issue that other topic that's kind of been at the forefront of county business lately is also the radio upgrade with the emergency radio infrastructure. I know that there has been some movements on that in the past as far as making a lot of ground on that, at least in most ground as ever. It's something that's been talked about for a long time, but now we're kind of starting to finally see some things happen with it.
Well, later this month, we're going to start doing some testing on the equipment and the hardware for it, so we can get make sure that the equipment we are getting is going to work in the way we want it.
Because I think the commission did approve that the purchase for some equipment,
right,
or
we,
I don't know if it was all of it or if it was just a big.
Well, it's just part of it. We get the basic parts and the radios. Now we're going to test it out, but we are going to go through with it, the whole thing.
And Kevin, is that something that your department will probably be helping out with at all?
I attend some of the meetings on the radio system. I know that the Pat Collins Emergency Management, they working closely with their vendors on some of this, sizing things out and doing the testing that Marvin talked about, et cetera. So yeah, we're available wherever necessary, you know, for sure.
And the Harris will be there, and the Canton. Trying to think of the local people will be there.
KCOM.
And they're going to get there and test the system out. They'll be doing that at the shops, I think, 20th or 21st.
Is this a system that hopefully the county hopes to have in by next year at some point? Is that kind of the goal?
Yes.
And I know a big part of the budget that was passed this year, a big part of that, the money of the budget, mm-hmm. was for this chunk of the radio system.
Right.
So after that, was that the biggest chunk as far as out of the budget that the county will expect?
The biggest chunk is going to be the total hardware and that they're going to have for dispatch. That's going to be the hardest, the biggest.
And I know a lot of the emergency folks, police, fire, you name it, they're ready for that system to go in.
They're ready.
We've been hearing the complaints before. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And we know with the two towers or so we're going to have to build on it, one in Fort Riley, I think, or we're going to use one in Fort Riley, and we're just going to have better service all the way around.
Something that's needed for sure. Mm-hmm. Riley County Commission Chairman Marvin Rodriguez, also ITGIS Director Kevin Hauser. We made it. Out of time, folks.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. Looking ahead to tomorrow, USD 383 will be in, along with Manhattan Technical College. Also Thursday, Lyle Butler with Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce will come in. Friday, KSU Extension, KSU Libraries with an update on Hill Library. Also Riley County Senior Center to close out the week. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Kind of nice to catch that high five on the air, huh?
Yeah.
That moment of exhilaration. It's like, whew, made it through. All right, gentlemen, thanks for being a part of the show today. Lineup has Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh, Dan Patrick at the game this afternoon. More talk about K-State football. We're 18 days away from kickoff. And Royals on the radio tonight, 6:30, Royals hosting Toronto. It's 10 a.m. at K-Man. Good morning.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.com.